League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
KFMC. Mont Belvieu, Houston. ESPN. 97.5. A Gao Media Station. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Moment for John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. Am I getting a car accident? Boat, motorcycle, industrial, construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm and John Daspit are going to treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com, presenting sponsor of our number one here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. They work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. They are supporting the game of soccer. 713-322-HURT. Go to the website for advice at DaspitLaw.com. They are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters. Your Houston Dynamo back in action. What better way to celebrate than with an ice cold Bud Light? Now let's honor our great state of Texas this month with a beer that's made by Texans for Texans. Bud Light has been brewed deep in the heart of Texas for over 30 years right here at the Houston Brewery. So put on your Dynamo Orange, grab some friends, some refreshing Bud Light, and show me what your Texas is all about. Here's to the beer you can always count on. Proudly brewed in Texas, and the official beer of the Houston Dynamo is Bud Light, as well as Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Who are you pulling for in the World Cup? I've heard some U.S. fans say, since we got knocked out, we're pulling for Mexico or anybody in CONCACAF, Panama. Adolfo Machado of the Houston Dynamo is going to go to the World Cup with Panama. I mean, you imagine what that is, how he must be thinking about this on a daily basis. What it means for him to represent Panama in a first ever World Cup. I mean, the guy's probably a national hero. I mean, this will be one of Panama's greatest moments as a country through athletics. Panama in the World Cup. 713-780-3776. We'll also take your thoughts on the Dynamo at D.C. Points left on the table. The Dynamo made that sale of Kubo Torres. They got some room to do some things in the future. Likely will be the summer transfer window. What would your needs be as a Dynamo fan right now? What area do you want to see the Dynamo supplement? Do you want another defender? Do you want an outside back? Do you want a striker? Right back position right now with A.J. De La Garza. Could be an area you're thinking about. Could be an additional striker. 713-780-3776 is a number. We've also talked about the Champions League draw tonight as well. How tough was that? Manchester United being kicked out of the Champions League by Sevilla. And frankly, Sevilla was the far better team against Manchester United in the first leg. If it's not for David De Gea, you're coming back a pair of goals down against Sevilla. And many people say, oh, Premier League's the best in the world. Well, there are more Spanish teams left. All depends on what you like. Then again, you are guaranteed a Premier League team in the semifinal. Is that a bad draw for Manchester City getting Liverpool? 713-780-3776. U.S. national team with a young national team. 15 guys overseas. I'm going to read to you the players that are overseas. Bill Hamid with Micheland, who isn't playing there, by the way. Cameron Carter-Vickers with Ipswich Town. Eric Lehigh, Nottingham Forest. Matt Miazga at Vitesse. Shaq Moore at Levante. Eric Palmer-Brown is on loan at Kortrijk. Anthony Robinson at Bolton. He's a left back, which has always been a point of contention for the U.S. You got Jorge Villafana at Santos in Mexico. DeAndre Yedlin at Newcastle. You can watch him every weekend. He's getting valuable minutes. Tyler Adams with the Red Bulls. Kakuta Mane, who was up with the Texas Rush here in the Houston area, he's at Pachuca now. Weston McKennie at Schalke. Let's go on to Kenny Seif at Anderlecht. Tim Weah at Paris Saint-Germain. Andrea Novakovic is an amazing story. We may have him on the show, actually, tomorrow with Telstar. Rubio Rubin at Tijuana and Bobby Wood at Hamburg, which, unfortunately, I think Hamburg is going to be relegated in the Bundesliga. Okay, we have to head to break here. Before we go to break, a reminder coming up is U.S. national team coach Dave Sarakin. Then we'll have from the Washington Post, Stephen Goff on the show as well. A moment for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. Whether you get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle, Daspit Law Firm is going to treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com, the Daspit Law Firm, working for you 24/7 nights and weekends. 713-322-HURT. Proud sponsors of Soccer Matters. We'll take you to break with Dreams.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, with the World Cup rapidly approaching, it's time to get your home theater situation sorted out. THS is the place to go to get set up for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. THS will come out, get you a quote, and on your way to home theater installation with all the latest 4K video technology. Tap into 20 years of THS experience. THS can do it all, from home theater, home automation, networking, lighting designs, motorized shades, and home audio. A new home theater for the World Cup in Russia or your favorite sporting events? I think so. Call my friend Jesse, 281-506-7822, or email at jesse@THS3INC.com. Come on, you want to watch Neymar, Messi, and of course, Cristiano Ronaldo in picture clear, perfect television. I mean, with that, I will without doubt say one of my favorite men in the soccer business, great guy. I consider him a good friend, even though I don't see him much. He is Dave Sarakin. He is currently now the interim coach for the United States national team. Dave, thank you very much for doing this.
Well, it's my pleasure, Glenn. I feel the same way. I've known you for a lot of years. You do a great job, so I'm happy to be with you.
Well, this is interesting because, you know, I look at this roster that you've picked here and put together, and I guess 15 of the players all have European experience, and I think there's a lot of players that are likely going to be introduced to some of the U.S. fans this weekend.
Yes. You know, the idea behind these games, Glenn, is really to offer an opportunity to a lot of players that I feel and we all feel have a future in the program, and it's really a great opportunity to get to know them personally over these 10 days of training. And I'm excited with this group as well because they come in, there's no baggage, they're eager, they're enthusiastic, and there's a lot of quality in this young group. I think our average age is under 24 years old. So that's very exciting, I think, for us and for U.S. soccer fans.
Now, you've only had probably two training sessions with them, I think is what maybe you mentioned to me off air. Obviously, they're coming in with tons of enthusiasm. Has anything else jumped out to you in two sessions?
Well, immediately, you know, we had our January camp for 3 weeks and concluded with the Bosnia game. And that was a group of players primarily based in Major League Soccer. This particular group, as you mentioned, we had access because of the FIFA window to bring in players that, you know, have been playing consistently with their clubs. So immediately the fitness level was very high and the technical level was very high in the 2 days. If I compare it to the January camp. So that immediately stuck out, along with the fact that, you know, there's a few of these guys that I know who are a little bit older that immediately have shown some good leadership in this short time here. So that's very encouraging.
Dave Sarakin, United States national team interim coach, ahead of a match this weekend, the United States in North Carolina. They will take on Paraguay in Cary on March 27th. And as Dave mentioned, a very young roster, 15 players on this roster from European clubs. I guess the U.S. soccer fan maybe is a little confused at the moment as to direction. And I guess, who's steering the ship right now outside of Dave Sarakin? In other words, obviously this is all about trying to identify young players, give them opportunity in the interim before ultimately, and I know you're in the running for this as well, naming a full-time manager.
Right. Well, you know, obviously, I don't have to dwell on 2017. Very, very difficult for all of us. But, you know, we have to look forward. 2018, you know, the first business order of business was to elect a new president, which that was done in February. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk about the next position that will be a general manager for both the men and the women, but we're speaking today specifically for the men. So these dominoes have to fall in the proper order. But in the meantime, the program has to continue. They've entrusted me with the keys to that bus to keep the program going because we have great programming on the docket. You know, obviously Paraguay on Tuesday, and then the end of May we have Bolivia, and then Ireland and France, and then it continues on and on. And the program just has to keep going. We have to keep bringing young players into the fold and giving them these opportunities. And that's what I'm entrusted to do, and I'm very excited and proud to be able to do that. And as they say in the business, the show must go on, and that's where I'm at this moment. And the show will go on Tuesday against Paraguay.
Dave, has U.S. soccer given you any indication of when their timeline is for hiring the next manager, which, again, your name has been in this hat?
Well, not specifically, Glenn. I mean, you know, they've extended my situation and contract through the end of the World Cup, effectively, the end of June. And, you know, I think, as I said, the general manager is going to have the role of hiring, firing the senior men's coach. In my case, I think they feel comfortable and pleased with what I've been able to do in the short time I've had the group. And I know that they're entrusting me through the next set of games. And then we'll reevaluate specifically what role I will play, whether it's the national team, whether it's other roles within the federation, if they feel that I have the experience, which I believe I do, to help in different, you know, let's say different avenues within the federation. So we haven't sat down yet to talk about it. Our focus is really on the next match, and I'm sure those conversations will begin to take place over probably the next 4 or 5 weeks, I would think.
U.S. Soccer's interim coach, Dave Sarakin. You remember him from the Chicago Fire as well in Major League Soccer. Dave, I know I mentioned the timeline about a new manager. What about the timeline for the general manager? Has that been sort of established? Do we have an idea when you think that may end up being decided? Is that 2 months, 3 months? Because, I mean, I would think they want that before they pick the coach, right?
Right, right. Again, I think I know the process has begun, Glenn. I haven't been intimately involved in that, so I can't speculate as to who those prospects are at the moment and their specific timeline. But I do know they want to try to get that done sooner than later. And I don't think they want to rush into it. If the right candidate emerges, it'll be sooner. If they have to wait it out a little bit, they will. So it's hard to pinpoint exact time. But to your point, you know, I would say that I would think sooner than later. And what sooner means could be 4 weeks, it could be 6 weeks, it could be, you know, 8 weeks. I don't really know, but I know that that's a priority at the moment.
Let's talk about the under 17 and under 20 national teams. Now, I was lucky enough and fortunate enough to be able to call a lot of those games, and I see the talent that now sits at the under 20 and under 17 levels for the U.S. Do you think in the country we're not fully aware of what level of talent we have down there, because there's some outstanding young players? For me, it's what's going to happen to them in the next 2 years.
Oh, yeah. No, look, at I think the general public is unaware of that. I think, you know, in our culture, specifically in our sport in this country, it's the senior team that gets all the attention.
Mm-hmm.
All of us on the inside are very aware of what's going on underneath the senior team. And you mentioned the U-17s and 20s that both finished, I believe, in the quarterfinals of their respective tournaments. And those of us on the inside have followed and very closely the progress. You know, over the years, there's always been that gap between those youth teams and the senior team. But I do believe that transition is getting better, that these guys, these younger players are making that transition to the senior roster quicker now. We're going to get a real sense of it even within this roster that I have here in Cary. And as we build our roster for the next games in May and early June with some of the younger guys that were a part of those. So I think you know, the chatter out there has been that we have this system that's broken. I disagree pretty firmly that it's not broken. Yes, we can get better in many areas, but to your point, and you saw it, we have a lot of great prospects. At the end of the day, we can't predict how they'll turn out, but I think we feel pretty confident that we're gonna have some real good ones coming through.
Dave, are you concerned with your intense knowledge of Major League Soccer and the inner workings of it and player categorization and all the things that go along with it? And obviously with the addition of targeted allocation money and additional allocation money, teams, you know, have the ability, if they want, to go out and spend more money on players. Are you worried a little bit about the American player now and the balance of the foreign player to the American player? And some of these young guys and these young guys from the under 17 World Cup or the under 20 and their ability to get opportunity in Major League Soccer.
You know, Glenn, it's really, really interesting you raise that, because I've had this discussion recently. I am concerned. And I think, you know, again, with all of us that are on the inside, and in my case, I've coached many years, young players, these players have to play and they have to be given opportunities. I think the direction that the league is going, there's a little bit in my mind, a red flag now to your point that a lot of the extra money is going to foreign players, young foreign players, which is now taking opportunities away from our young American players. And, you know, I worry about it, frankly. And some of the young players that should be in Major League Soccer are going overseas, which is fine. But if they go over and don't play, that it's not a good situation for their development. So I'm concerned about it. I hope that Major League Soccer has a plan in place to make sure that we don't continue that trend to the point where it's going to be detrimental.
Is that something that's being talked about a lot in the Federation and amongst, you know, all the coaching staff, the Todd Ramoses, et cetera?
Honestly, it's hard to say. You know, I'm not in on all these conversations. I think people that have followed the league and are intimately involved with youth development, and I think I'm speculating now. I can't speak to hearing conversations, but I think we all have a little bit of a concern on that, in the direction that, you know, we need to go.
22, you know, there's players playing in all different countries. I mean, I think it's fascinating. You being around this for so long, when some of these players come back, and you've seen them when they've left and they kind of come back after an extended time period, do you a lot of times really see a definite change? Do you see the maturity in a very clear way when they come back?
Yeah, I'm not sure specifically who you mean, but you mean in a general way.
I don't mean anybody. Yeah, just in a general way. I mean, yeah. I'm sure it's a case-by-case thing, but you know, do you see big change when some of these kids have gone out and left for some of these foreign clubs and they come back into a national team camp?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest change, I think, Glenn, that I see is just a maturity factor. I don't see it necessarily that they've gone over there and now they've been exposed to something that they've never been exposed to. But I do see a maturity factor, a professionalism, their approach to training. Clearly, you know, in many of the cases, the guys come back sharper and fitter and a little bit better than when we had them the last time. But I think the other big component is their approach to the craft. And I think for a lot of the younger guys that do get those experiences and come back, that's a huge benefit for them, that they can jump in and not be intimidated and sort of, you know, hit the ground running a little bit. I even see it with these young guys that we have this week. You know, Tim Weah, who's an 18-year-old kid, he trained today and he jumped in like he's been here before. And that just comes in with a lot of confidence that he's coming from an environment that they trust him and allow him to be himself.
And Paris Saint-Germain is what you're referring to there.
Yes.
And the other thing that needs to be noted here, 15 of these guys are alumni of the U.S. Soccer Development Academy. So they got their start in the Develop Academy, many of these guys, even though like Weston McKennie and Miazga and a number of other guys have ended up on foreign clubs.
Right. No, I think, again, you know, the Federation implemented the Developmental Academy years back. It's, I think, over 10 years now, and it's not perfect, but it's certainly now, as you mentioned, it's yielding, and it's offering these guys a great starting point, and I think the identification process has now helped through the developmental development. I always get corrected. I always say developmental, and my people here yell at me. Development Academy.
Yeah, well, I did it wrong
program.
Too, so don't feel bad.
Yeah,
I did it wrong as well.
No, it's been very, very good. And again, like I always say, it's not perfect. There's always going to be some critics that say that it could be better, and it can. But it's certainly been a great starting point for a lot of these young players that we now see.
Gosh, there are such exciting talents. Tim Weah, Josh Sargent, all these guys, just so many exciting talents. I'm really interested in watching this game this weekend, and I hope, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people are around the country. All right, so I want to take you back to, okay, we're not going to the World Cup. We got that. We're not going to rehash that. But the opportunity that's now at hand here with a couple of years here and to really begin to groom some of these younger guys, I mean, it's only an opportunity you could have gotten without going to a World Cup.
That's you're exactly right. You're exactly right. And, you know, I know you a little bit, Glenn, and I think I wouldn't be wrong to say you're a guy who looks at a glass, not half empty, but half full. I'm like that. You know, when an opportunity like going to a World Cup doesn't happen and it completely guts you like it did all of us, it now lends itself to an opportunity, as you alluded to now use 2018 to hit the reset button, to allow these young guys to get their feet wet with international friendlies, knowing that when the real stuff hits the fan in 2019 and beyond, they've gotten a head start, whereas otherwise they wouldn't have. So that's the approach I'm taking philosophically going through these friendlies and these games that we have throughout 2018. And the hope is that down the road, it's going to pay dividends.
Dave Sarakin, interim U.S. coach. They will take on Paraguay this weekend with a real young roster. Very exciting to see some of these talents, the likes of Tim Weah and company, this weekend. The left-back position is one that's always been a point of contention. It may be a point of contention on a lot of teams. Now, there's a young man playing for Bolton that you've talked extensively about. Anthony Robinson. Tell me a little bit about him, because I know you've scouted him pretty heavily.
We have watched him. He came to my attention not that long ago, and knowing that he would be eligible for us, we paid attention a little closer. And you know, he's a young guy who is playing a lot of minutes for Bolton. He's a left back / left midfielder, depending on the system. Left-footed, tall, athletic kid, good feet, good serve of the ball, runs well. And now it's a matter of using this opportunity to really get to know him personally off the field, but on the field. And as you said, I think there's always been a few positions where our depth has been challenged, and the left-back position is one. So it was a no-brainer to have him come in. And so far, you know, he's had a couple good days. He's young, and so we'll see how it plays out through the week.
Dave, what do you want to see this weekend? I know a lot of this is fact-finding. I know a lot of this is learning more about a lot of these young guys up close and personal. What do you want to see this weekend in this game? What is it as a manager you want to see?
Well, you know, unfortunately, we can only play 6 reserves. I wish I had the opportunity to play 10, but that's not how it's set up with these friendlies. I hope to see use all 6 reserves. I hope that through the next 6 days that the group develops a chemistry, because at the end of the day, we want to win. We always want to win the games that are in front of us. So we want to use this week to allow players to play without any fear. I want to see them show us their personality. I want to be, and this has been the message when we had the group in Portugal in November and Bosnia against Bosnia in January. It's not a qualifier. It's not about if we lose, we don't go to a tournament. Be yourself. Play with no fear. Be aggressive. Develop chemistry within the group. And the hope is that, you know, we come away with a good impression and the players walk away with a great experience.
Dave, I don't want to let you go without giving you the platform here, but I do know you do want the job, right? I mean, you would love to be the full-time coach at the end of all this.
Well, you know, I've been asked that question, Glenn, and I always feel a little sheepish when I have to answer it, because I'm not a guy that looks to promote. But I would say that, you know, this job, there's some boxes that have to be checked to be the national team coach. And I think, for me personally, I always say this, and I mean it. It's an honor. It's a real honor to be able to be in this position. I don't take that lightly. I feel refreshed and energized with this young group, and I think I know the direction that this particular group needs to go. So I think the position does require experience, people that have been in the field and in qualifiers, in tough places. And I know I have that experience. And if they have that conversation with me, I would welcome it. And, of course, anybody in this position, I think, would say the same thing. So, but I'm not getting ahead of myself. We'll see how it all plays out. The main task now is get this group excited and ready to play for Tuesday.
As humble a guy as I've ever met, and it's a wonderful trait to have. Dave, thank you very much for coming on tonight. Best of luck against Paraguay. Keep up the good work.
And same to you, Glenn. I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. So one and only Dave Sarakin. Remember him with the Chicago Fire. He was a professional indoor player back in the day and a very good one. With the World Cup rapidly approaching, it's time to get your home theater situation sorted out. THS is the place to go to get set up for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. THS will come out, get you a quote, and on your way to home theater installation with all the latest 4K video technology. Tap into 20 years of THS experience. THS can do it all, from home theater, home automation, networking, lighting designs, motorized shades, and home audio. A new home theater for the World Cup in Russia or your favorite sporting events? I think so. Call my friend Jesse, 281-506-7822, or email at jesse@THS3inc.com. That's Jesse at THS3inc.com. By the way, I want to make sure I'm watching Ronaldo, Neymar, Messi, all in crystal clear picture. All right, we'll take a break. More to come. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, tonight on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, we're going to end it in big style. Before we do, just a reminder here for Bud Light. Your Houston Dynamo are back in action. What better way to celebrate than with a nice cold Bud Light? Let's honor our great state of Texas this month with a beer that's made by Texans for Texans. Bud Light has been brewed deep in the heart of Texas for over 30 years, right here at the Houston Brewery. So put on your Dynamo Orange, grab some friends and some refreshing Bud Light, and show me what your Texas is all about. Here's to the beer you can always count on, proudly brewed in Texas, the official beer of the Houston Dynamo, Bud Light. With that, he is from the Washington Post. He is Stephen Goff. Goff, why do you keep scooping us down here in Houston about our own team?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do.
I guess so. I don't know. Some things happen, and
now you're doing it. You do a great job. I just wanted to have a little fun with that. But
yeah,
You do a great job, and you've covered soccer wonderfully. You're down with the U.S. national team, and obviously this is a very young roster. I find this very interesting, seeing a lot of players of the future potentially.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of young guys here. Tyler Adams, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Tim Weah, obviously an intriguing name. Rubio Rabin, who's now in Mexico, Eric Palmer Brown. Weston McKennie, obviously. There's a lot of quality young talent here. And, you know, this is a process that, clearly needs to take place. And with no World Cup coming up, it's begun a little bit earlier than anyone anticipated.
Yeah, it's a process that wouldn't take place unless the U.S. didn't qualify for the World Cup, which is what happened. Stephen Goff with the Washington Post. Having watched a lot of the under-17s and under-20s, there is some tremendous talent there. The whole question for me, Stephen, is if, they're in a place where they're going to get some minutes in MLS. Are you concerned, like a lot of people are, about the fact that maybe the young American with Tam and Gam now is maybe not getting the opportunities they need to get?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly an issue. If you look at the breakdown of starting lineups the first few weeks in MLS, they're heavily international. When I say international, I mean, foreign players as well as green card guys who don't count as international, don't count against the limit. And that certainly damaged the prospects of many American players. That said, if you're a coach or a general manager of an MLS team, you got to win. And this is a business. You got to put the best players out there. And, very few coaches have the luxury of being able to, experiment with some American guys who might not be ready for the pro level. You got to put your best team out there. And if they happen to be international players, then so be it. Certainly the fact that there are fewer Americans on the roster is a cause for concern. But, the guys that are on rosters need to prove they belong on the field. So, that's all part of it as well.
Do coaches in Major League Soccer, in your opinion, should they be a little bit braver with some of the younger American players?
Yeah, I mean, every situation's different. A coach who has a little more stability and is, has a team high in the table, mid to late in the season. Yeah, you can certainly put some younger, inexperienced players in there who happen maybe to be American. Bottom line is you got to win, and really nationality and doesn't matter to a coach. They've got to get the results, and that might end up hurting a lot of U.S. players. But this is a business. This isn't the national team. This isn't the under 17s or under 18s, where your primary purpose is to develop players who are going to succeed on international level. I mean, this is This is about winning games and getting points, and it's hard on some American players, but that's the way it is.
Stephen Goff of the Washington Post joining us. The flip side of this is that the developmental years that these guys are going to miss and not get minutes in, it's going to slow the acceleration of their player development. So it really is a catch-22.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. And that's where, that's where it's important for players to get quality minutes with the USL team on loan. Some guys, they're better off being, in a more competitive environment overseas, perhaps. It's different for everybody. A guy like Tyler Adams, teenager, is getting serious minutes with the Red Bulls. He's developing rapidly. In D.C., a guy like Chris Durkin, 18 years old, superb talent, defensive midfielder. Ben Olsen has to decide, do I give minutes to Chris Durkin, or do I stick with the Venezuelan national team player I just signed who has more experience on the international level and as a professional? So, this is it's all a balancing act for professional teams.
Now, in the case of Adams, they have fast-tracked him up there, and they made a real decision to give him a lot of minutes, ride with him. It's paying off handsomely. There's a case where Jesse Marsh is and the New York Red Bulls are definitely allowing and giving opportunity to young Americans.
Yeah, and there are situations where a coach feels, hey, Tyler Adams can make an impact. He can play. I have no hesitation in playing him. Jesse clearly sees something special in this kid, and he's proven himself. It's not, I don't think you can make a blanket statement about all 18 or 19 year olds Americans in the league. Every situation's a little bit different.
No, for sure. But I think he also has to be applauded because he did take some risk.
Sure.
And it's turned out,
absolutely.
And I guess that's where I'm getting is we do need to see some of these coaches take a little bit more of a risk. I don't want some above average or slightly above average Caribbean player taking the place necessarily of an American guy that's started an under 17 or an under 20 World Cup.
Without question.
Yeah. And the league originally was put together, and launched in 96. And part of the mantra back then and I guess the mission statement was to make sure that the American player was a part of the whole thing based on our history with the North American Soccer League and everything else.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's an interesting time.
Part of it. These guys also have to prove it in training every day. Just because they're young Americans and this is a league geared towards developing the game in this country doesn't automatically mean you get on the field. So you got to show it. And clearly there are some young players who've done it and others who are, knocking on the door.
He's Stephen Goff of the Washington Post. He's currently down in the Raleigh-Cary area this weekend, the United States men's national team taking on Paraguay. It's a roster that's pretty interesting. There's some names on there we also don't know, Stephen, or maybe U.S. fans aren't familiar with. I guess about 65% of the roster, 70%, 15 guys, all are affiliated with teams in either Europe or Mexico.
Yeah, it's a FIFA window. So, Dave Sarokin has the ability to call in who he pleases. That means, you have more players available from Europe and Mexico, and it's early in the MLS season. So, these guys aren't in top form yet. Nonetheless, he did call in, several of them, including Zach Steffen, up-and-coming goalkeeper, Christian Roldan, who's been in a few camps, plus some more experienced guys, like Darlington Nagbe. Now with Atlanta and, Alex Bono, another young keeper. It's a young group and there's a good mix there. Will Trapp has shown a lot of leadership qualities and shown well with the national team in the January camp. And, a lot of these guys will stick with the program for the summer games in May and June, when the U.S. Takes on Bolivia, Ireland, and France.
I think it's a wonderful time. The blood players, another real recent addition that I think made one of the training sessions was Tim Weah, the son of George Weah, the former World Player of the Year, who's now the president of Liberia. And Tim had an outstanding under-17 World Cup, so it'll be interesting to see if he gets some minutes this coming weekend. I know the U.S. can only make it's a game where only six subs are allowed for each team, so it's going to be interesting to see who Dave Sarakin gives the run out to.
Yeah, there's 23 guys in camp. All 23 can appear on the roster next Tuesday against Paraguay. And, yeah, like you said, there'll be six substitutions, and we'll see what happens. You know, I'm curious to see, you know, things like the goalkeeping situation where Bill Hamid was his number one keeper in the winter camp. But, you know, Bill moved over to Denmark and hasn't played in the game yet. So perhaps does that open up, a chance for Zach Steffen to, you know, maybe get the start next week. We'll see some definitely some intriguing stuff. You know, there is a silver lining of sorts when you don't make the World Cup. If they had made the World Cup, the U.S. would be in Europe right now training and playing two friendlies against probably World Cup bound teams. Because they did not, they're staying at home. They got a 10-day camp, a friendly at home in a small venue, and a lot of young players who otherwise would not receive an invitation until after the World Cup.
Something fresh, something exciting about it, time to look forward, and I think this is going to be an interesting game this weekend. Now, you will be going to Russia to cover the FIFA World Cup in 2018. You bring in a bodyguard? Can you lock your computer down? I mean, tell me about this trip, and are you excited about it? Because, you're a man of mystery, and this is Russia, man.
Yeah, am I excited about it? Yes and no. I mean, it's a place I haven't been before. It's a World Cup. World Cups are always a life experience, you know, something you don't forget no matter where you go. But this is, this is going to be a tough one. You know, it's Russia. There are, certainly the usual logistical issues that you face at a World Cup in terms of traveling between cities, the enormous cost involved. And, obviously with this one, there's the backdrop of politics. And, as an American going over, I don't expect to have any issues, but you also have to anticipate that, you're probably going to get hacked, and nothing is secure electronically. So this is the world we live in today, and Moscow awaits.
So logistically, how much planning have you done? Getting around, and then I guess the second part of the question is, do you set your own schedule up as to what games sort of you want to cover and what stories you want to present? Is that all on you?
Yeah, there's going to be three of us from the Washington Post going over.
Boy, that's a big commitment. That's a big commitment from the Washington Post.
Yeah, considering the U.S. team isn't there. Indeed, we have international ambitions, and we have an international audience, and this is the biggest international event there is. So even without the Americans there, we need to be there. I think I'll probably be based in Moscow most of the time. My housing is set up for now in Moscow, and then I'll bounce around to other cities as necessary. But the other reporters will go on their own adventures. There are two stadiums in Moscow that are staging matches, so there's a game in the city of Moscow essentially every other day through the group stage. Moscow is also the transportation hub for the entire country. So if you need to get anywhere, it's going to be on a train or a plane through the capital city. That's my plan. Some apartments, some hotels, and away we go.
A lot of borscht and vodka and maybe some dashes, right?
You gotta
do that steam bath, right? With the where they hit you with the leaves and all that. You gotta do that.
With, What's that?
That's the dasha. You got to go to a dasha where you get steamed out and you know you hit each other with branches.
Man,
you know, and leaves.
I don't know. I don't know what to expect.
You got to do that, man.
Just, you know, I
want a full report on you going to a dasha when you get back.
Yeah, you'll get the full report, I'm sure.
Stephen, just before I let you go, I want to, you know, you're so in tune with what's going on with DC United in the nation's capital. It's been kind of strange watching DC over these years. It just seems to have flatlined there. What's the real end game with this ownership group? I mean, I know you're moving into a new stadium. DC is in July. That necessitated the game at the Maryland Soccerplex with the Dynamo this past weekend. But what do you think the end game is for the DC United ownership? Is it to flip this team like a house?
I don't know. I think that might be a little harsh to say. They're business guys. They're not soccer guys, as most sports team owners are these days. Right now, the value of the team is rising because this new stadium will open this summer. Values of teams around the league are rising. Will they sell at some point? I'm sure they will if the price is right. It's just the nature of business. They certainly have an emotional connection to the team, especially Jason Levien, the number two guy who lives in Washington. They've poured a lot of money into this team in terms of the stadium, and that thing's going to bring in a lot of money. So we'll see. They remain one of the lower spending teams in the league. You would think that'll start to change once revenue begins to flow at the new stadium. Right now, DC United is definitely bottom three or five in the league in payroll spending. Will they go out and get a big designated player this summer if things aren't going well? Yeah, maybe the time's right with the stadium opening. We'll have to wait and see.
Stephen, listen, thanks as always for coming on. We appreciate your insight. Keep up all the good work and enjoy the U.S. Paraguay game this weekend.
Yeah, man, my pleasure.
All right, he's Stephen Goff, Washington Post. Always great, fun guy, good guy. Does great work all over the place when it comes to covering the game. And you heard him say that they're sending three reporters from the Washington Post. And by the way, we're a diverse city here in Houston. I guarantee you there's nobody from the Houston Chronicle going to the World Cup. So shows you the different thinking from different sports editors and in different markets, because as much as Washington, D.C. is international, we sure as you know what are in Houston. That'll do it tonight here. Before we head out, just a quick word here for Bud Light. Your Dynamo are back in action, and what better way to celebrate than with an ice cold Bud Light? Let's honor our great state of Texas this month with a beer that's made by Texans for Texans. Bud Light has been brewed deep in the heart of Texas for over 30 years, right here at the Houston Brewery. So put on your Dynamo Orange, grab some friends, some refreshing Bud Light, and show me what your Texas is all about. Here's to the beer you can always count on. Proudly brewed in Texas, an official beer of the Houston Dynamo and Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. That is Bud Light. Now remember, get the podcast at podcastarena.com. You can get it on iTunes as well. As always, my thanks to everybody here at ESPN, Jose Partida, Victor Ariza, Michael Carroll for always contributing to this show. And again, podcastarena.com. Don't forget, tomorrow we're back here again, 7 o'clock Central. Tomas Martinez of the Houston Dynamo will be in studio. Good night, everyone.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.